It's KX93.5, it's Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm Jason Fedde, it's your daily scramble live, which means, you know, we cover a lot of bases around here, from silly stories to music to stories about musical theatre in town. Tonight we just had Ken Jilson on the air. And right now, Dania Alkouli is here. Hello, Dania, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right, I'm doing very well. And Dania's from an organisation called A Country Called Syria. And, well, you just got back from Syria in May.
I did, yeah. End of May.
What were you doing there?
My mom and I wanted to go and visit our families that are left behind there and actually visit the displaced families that are stuck inside Syria and see what are their needs, hear their stories, and just kind of bring back stories for everyone to know about what's going on.
And you went to Damascus primarily?
Yes, Damascus.
Right, so were you just in the city there, or did you travel outside of the city?
We were not able to travel outside.
Really?
Yeah.
Why, because it's dangerous?
It is.
Yeah. So, how are they faring up there in Damascus?
Honestly, it's very difficult. It was a very emotional trip. This was, you know, the first time that I had gone since everything had started. The last time I was there was 6 years ago. It was definitely changed from what I remember. Definitely a more darker experience, seeing the changes and everything that's going on.
So, Damascus, it's an ancient city.
It's actually the oldest inhabited city in the whole world.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, it's a very old city. I imagine it's quite exotic and quite interesting. And I would think a hustle and bustle down there and lots of stuff going on, smells, noises, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, has that changed?
It has. You can feel the vibe and the atmosphere has definitely changed. That's the first thing that I noticed. People have been under stress and pressure and going through all of this turmoil for 5 years. The whole environment has changed. It has shifted.
Are people able to go about the business during the day? If you live in a city and you sell something and there's a war going on, first thing that happens is you can't get hold of your stock for your store.
It's true. A lot of businesses have suffered, but there are many that have been able to manage. I mean, one of the silver linings that I saw on my trip was the amount of resilience that the people were showing. They're moving forward despite everything that they're enduring.
Does it feel like a place under siege? I don't even know what that feels like.
I don't know. It was very difficult to pinpoint everything that we were feeling and experiencing, especially being in the capital, which is considered relatively the safest area right now.
Yeah. I was saying to you off the air that I think that, you know, the capital's where the politicians live, so they're not bombing themselves. It's all going off in Aleppo right now, of course.
No, which is why a majority of the displaced families that I've met and seen were from other districts, other cities in Syria that had moved into the capital to find, you know, safe shelter and housing.
I don't want to get into the politics of it, but are people discussing the politics of it? Like, is it clearly like some people believe this guy's right and some people believe that guy's right? What's Damascus like? Because it's not all one-sided in Damascus, surely.
It's not one-sided anywhere, to be honest. When I was there, it was very varied. You'd hear all the different opinions, so it made matters even more baffling.
Yeah. Yeah, we sitting here in Laguna Beach can't even imagine what it must be like. Kids going to school?
Kids are going to school, yes. It's something that families and community organizations are highly emphasizing, that, you know, don't stop. And ever since this war started, a majority of children have been out of school, especially the refugees, they have nowhere to go.
Yeah. So people are going to school, soccer matches still going on, entertainment of any kind. I mean, is there a curfew? What's it like on sort of a daily basis?
I was told that in the beginning there was a curfew, but when I was there, there absolutely wasn't. I mean, you'll see a huge dichotomy. People who are completely living their lives without, you know, any, nothing holding back. Entertainment, yeah. Lifestyle, mm-hmm. Parties, celebrations. And then you'll see others that their lives have completely shifted. But like I said, I did see, especially among children, the amount of resilience and comfort. They're finding ways to entertain themselves and move on.
Yeah. So do you think it's harder for people outside of Damascus? Or do you think, in rural areas or obviously Aleppo's Syria's second city that's just come under such amount of... You know, it's really being used as a political football at the moment between America and the Russians, really. Do you think it's more difficult in other towns? Did you hear stories?
I did. It's definitely a lot difficult outside of Damascus. Definitely.
So you say you've been out to Damascus. You went out there to bring back stories. Tell us a story. Tell us something that really struck you.
There are so many, and I actually kept a blog of these experiences. So it was supposed to be 6 weeks in Syria, and I titled the installment on my blog 6 weeks in Syria to talk about these different experiences. And I think the most moving experience was when I visited one of the three shelters that was there in Damascus. And I took along my camera asking if I could take pictures, and a lot of these families had never seen a camera before. Huh. And so when I took their pictures, they were in shock when I showed it to them on the screen. And they thought, you know, that was it. They're never going to see it again. And I came back the next week with actual printed copies of their photos and gave it to them. And it was like I handed them $1 million. You know, a mother was so excited to see a picture of her two children. She'd never seen it before. And I had a little boy who was like, no one's ever taken a picture of me. I didn't know what it looked like and how I would look. So it was definitely very moving to...
So the kids had never seen... I mean, surely the parents had seen a camera.
You know, I don't know, because a lot of them are from, you know, villages and, like you said, rural areas. They had been displaced. They might have heard of it. They might have seen it somewhere on TV or something, but in person they actually hadn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people should remember as well that outside of the cities, people have lived in what's almost been a war, certainly in fear, for a long, long time. Not just the last few years since the civil war happened in Syria. But, you know, Assad's regime was pretty strict in and of itself. There's been war on the border with Israel for years and years. There's been, Hezbollah and the Iranian incursion into Syria. It's been going on a long time. So people haven't had a free life for a long, 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 long time out there. How does this affect, how's it affected your family? You're an American woman. When you go there, do you feel very sort of, does it take a while to reconnect with them?
With my family?
Yeah.
No. Honestly, I feel like I've been able to balance both identities, Syrian and American, very well. We used to visit Syria on an annual basis. So my parents have instilled that love of the culture and the environment within us. So whenever I'd go, it was an immediate adjustment.
Yeah.
I never felt... I mean, there's little things here and there that's obviously different between growing up in America and growing up in Syria, but...
Well, I would think so.
Yeah, but overall, it was easy to adjust. It always felt like home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's the hummus? Good hummus?
Oh, my goodness. The best.
Best hummus in the world?
Honestly,
that's
the best.
Of course, you would say that.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually not. Where my family lived, best hummus in the world. But that's that's the argument, right? That's the constant thing.
That's, yeah.
Everybody's got the best hummus. Yeah.
It really is the best.
No, it's not. I'm sure it's okay. A country called Syria is the organization. Tell us a bit about A Country Called Syria.
Absolutely. So a year after the revolution started in Syria, my mom had this desire to do something that was going to raise awareness in a non-political, non-religious atmosphere. And so she gathered up a bunch of Syrian women here in the community in OC and SoCal and asked, like, what can we do? What can we do to showcase our country, its beauty, its culture, and its history so that people understand even more in depth what the value is behind this country? So... in May 2012, the idea was born, and July 2012, we had our first exhibition in Huntington Beach, and it started out as something as simple as like 10 tables distributed where we just laid out items on the tables, and these items are things that these women collected from their homes. All of them are immigrants, and when our families immigrated over here, they had brought, you know, furniture and little, you know, thingamajigs and things like that, and that they'd bring, and they gathered those from their homes, and we just put it on display, and it turned out to be really nice as our first exhibition, and we just found that people were thirsty for more information.
And you guys were around, so people could look at the item on the table and say, well, what is this? What does this mean?
Absolutely. We had all of our volunteers behind the tables, and we had labels, explanations, we had food, we had hummus, it was really good.
Was it warm?
It was delicious.
Hummus? Was it good?
It was very good.
A little full on the top there? Not, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So after we realized that this is actually, you know, something people are intrigued in and they want more, we decided to develop it even further. And now it's been 4.5 years. We've become an official nonprofit organization, 501c3, and we've evolved greatly from our first exhibition. We now are like a genuine gallery museum exhibition style.
Goodness me. Now, the latest exhibition is at Cal State University at Fullerton.
Yes.
That's a nice campus up there.
It is.
And it's an exhibition of artwork, mostly?
Art and history. Mm-hmm. It showcases the culture of Syria through art and history. So it's inside their Pollock Library on the first floor in their atrium gallery. And we have about 125 pieces on display from a total of almost 500 pieces in our entire collection. And it just shows, you know, different figurines, different cities, different historical landmarks and information that people, you know, don't know about Syria. Like we mentioned that Damascus, the capital, is the oldest inhabited city in the whole world.
I didn't know that. I had no idea. And there's got to be some architecture there that's worth preserving.
Definitely.
Even pre-Islamic. I mean, this place has been around.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? 10,000 years? I mean, if it's the oldest inhabited city, when did man start doing agriculture and, you know, collecting themselves into cities?
We have so many historical landmarks there that need preservation. We have castles, we have amphitheaters, we have arches and things from the Greco-Roman era that was once preserved and is now currently at risk.
Right.
Or some have actually been damaged.
Yeah, well, you know, there are people who are very a bit crazy, and they think that anything from any other culture is a bad thing, so they destroy it, and so, you know, these things get lost for the next generation.
And that's one of the key, we have many reasons why we've started this organization, but one of the key reasons is because, you know, there are so many people who will never be able to visit Syria, at least for the time being.
Yeah.
You know, especially Syrians themselves, you know, the children who are born in refugee camps or the children who are born to people who made it here, they may never know their country and their history. And this is an opportunity to educate them and share with them the rich value. There's so many things about Syria that people don't know that are huge, valuable contributions to the world. I mean, yeah. Something else that I often emphasize is the first linear alphabet was from Syria.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know that, and certainly we're aware, we're sort of vaguely aware that much came from Arab culture in the Middle Ages. You know, algebra, people have heard of that.
Their favorite.
You know, the word assassin. We know that that's a... And hummus, of course,
hummus,
which, you know, we'll give you that you invented it, but then we took it to another level. But people don't know that, and it's the human element of this that I think is so important that you guys are bringing to just to let people go and see this stuff. There's a couple of things about that I wanted to ask you. One is that, you know, somebody like me, I'm going to go and see this because I'm sort of progressive dude and I want to know about other cultures, and I have no fear of immigrants. I'm an immigrant myself, so whatever. But how do you reach people that have this that are scared? You know, yesterday before the political debates here, you know, even last night, Trump saying, "Oh, there's tens of thousands of marauding lunatics are going to be flooding into the country." How do we allay the fears of people that that think like that? Because they've been told it's not their fault.
It's a huge challenge. We, considering it's a mother-daughter team that we are at this organization, it's very difficult. We have our limits to how far we can reach, so we try wherever we can. We highly encourage people that have never been to try and come and visit and bring someone with them that they think might be afraid and is in need of this kind of push. Because what we've noticed is when people come, their whole perspective changes. You know, we have had people come in and leave in tears, not realizing the value that Syria had.
Yeah, and well, just to see people as human beings and not... The trouble is we give them labels, don't we? We say refugees. You know, immediately that's a word which puts a barrier between you and that and somebody else. You know, you don't think of them as a mother or a brother or a father or a... Or a, I don't know, a butcher or a baker or whatever,
yeah.
Or a DJ on the radio, and they're just not human anymore. It's dehumanizing, and clearly this is going to take generations to figure out. I mean, there are children suffering now that are going to be that will have to figure out a way to figure this out. You know, their entire lives. It's traumatic.
Absolutely, and we do raise awareness. Like one of our events that we are hosting this week is a film documentary screening on the experience of refugees crossing over the Macedonian border. We want people to come and understand what they're going through, see the actual firsthand experiences as they're crossing the border in the cold dead of night by themselves, trying to figure out, you know, if they're going to eat tomorrow, if they're going to have water, and if they're going to have shoes, if their kids are going to survive. There are so many things that people are distanced from. Like you said, that label just creates that separation, and they don't understand the human factor that comes into it.
And the bottom line is, it's not their fault. They didn't make this happen. You know, there's people that are crossing the border. Well, you know, I personally, anyway, just, it's heartbreaking. And I'm going to come and see this exhibition. Now, it's running right now at the California State University Fullerton. When does it end?
It ends December 21st.
All right, so it's right up till the holidays.
Right.
And there's a lot. Tell me about this live art show, November 5th.
I'm really excited about that. So we've invited local Syrian artists from SoCal to come showcase and sell their work. So we have artists that are musicians, we have singers, we have painters, calligraphers, designers, photographers, woodworkers. And then I'm really excited because we have two young girls, age 8 and 9, who are little entrepreneurs. One opened her own homemade scented candles. She'll be selling those. And the other one has made handmade jewelry, and she'll be selling those as well.
All with a sort of Syrian flavor, the whole thing.
Yeah, they're
Syrian,
all, yeah.
Either Syrian people or the...
They're
or
all
the,
Syrian.
The, right.
Yeah. The only artist that we have that's not Syrian, she's actually a friend of ours that is a nurse who uses her vacation hours to go work at refugee camps. And she does art swap. So she'll bring art from children here in America to the children in the refugee camps in Syria and Iraq. And she'll have them draw art, and she'll bring it back to the American kids here.
Brilliant.
So she's bringing art from Syrian children in the refugee camps.
Killer. Well, you know what? You and I first met on the campus of Music in Common.
Yeah.
And so all of these organizations, slowly, bit by bit, educate people, get people to realize at least there's a, you know, that there's, we have a commonality, human commonality. And to go and see people doing art, especially people in Laguna, we're an art town, so
yeah. We
can totally relate to that. The art show's on November 5th, bonfire night. You know it's bonfire night in Britain?
No.
Everybody builds bonfires and eats horrible food.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Stands in the rain. Yeah. It's 12 in the afternoon till 4 in the afternoon, and it's up there at the Pollock Library. That's at California State University Fullerton. If you want to know any more information about that, just call me or text me, 949-715-5936. What's your website?
We are found on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at A Country Called Syria.
A Country Called Syria.
Yeah.
Danny, it's very nice of you to come in
this
hour of the morning and talk to me about this thing. And just good luck with it all, and love to the families. And anything else we can do, I don't know what we can do really, but just spreading the word that whatever you think, whatever word you're attaching to these people, they're human beings.
Absolutely.